G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm Graham Curry, your host from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle, and I successfully maintained that weight loss now coming up 2 years. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what it's like to living an intermittent fasting lifestyle. I'm also the author of the book, The Fasting Highway, which is a story of my journey overcoming chronic addiction to fast food and sugar and taking that walk from morbid obesity to normality. So sit back here with us on the Fasting Highway in the next few weeks and listen to some inspiring guests and some experts in the intermittent fasting community. And thank you for joining us. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to episode 45. And today I'm going to be speaking with Andy Watson, and Andy is from London in the United Kingdom. And Andy's 46 years old, and he started his intermittent fasting journey not long after lockdown happened to London in the United Kingdom. And Andy was looking at his weight spiraling, and it was one day he was out walking with his beloved dog when he made a discovery about his health journey that was about to unfold, and he would never look back. And here to tell us about that journey is a very inspiring Andy Watson. Welcome, mate. Oh, g'day, Andy, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Graham. Thank you for inviting me and for speaking to me.
Oh, no problems, mate, and I hope everything's well in London there. I know you guys have had a bit of a rough trot, but how have you been coping with it all?
Yeah, really well, actually. Lockdown kind of suits my personality. So I'm a bit of an introvert. So I've always wanted to work from home. So spending the last 10 months during COVID working from home has worked well for me. And I found intermittent fasting as well at the same time. So yeah, really good, actually.
Oh, that's fantastic, mate. So what we might do, Andy, we might start with a bit of your backstory and any issues you had and things that you tried to address with your weight in the past, and what led you up to finding intermittent fasting?
So a few years ago, probably 6 or 7 years ago, I'd had some really good weight loss. I've always been big, and I'd got myself to 21 stone, which is about 294 pounds. And then I'd done calorie counting, and I was exercising kind of obsessively. I'd got into running and triathlon, and I was aiming to do Ironman events. So I'd had some really good weight loss with the calorie counting. But as we know, it's really quite difficult to maintain that weight loss. If we look at the obesity code and fast feast repeat, we kind of talk about how weight starts to creep on. And I certainly started to find that. And when I stopped doing triathlon, then the weight really started to pick up. And I probably ended up over a couple of years creeping back up to kind of 18, 19 stone. Kind of my health was okay. I was starting to get some issues with my back, and I was having difficulty not walking upstairs but walking downstairs. My knees didn't seem to want to function as they should, so I was kind of started having to walk sideways down the stairs just to get downstairs. And I saw a physio about that, and it was really to do with weight and the pressure that was on my back. And I kind of resigned myself at that point that's the way it was going to be. I was struggling with my mental health through that period as well, probably for a period of six years. Up until this last year, I'd moved to a vegan diet a few years ago, and I did lose some weight on the vegan diet, probably a couple of stone. And then I found out that Bourbon biscuits and Oreos were actually vegan. And then that kind of stalled, because I do like a biscuit. So it kind of stalled my weight loss there. And I kind of sat around, 16 stone. For a good couple of years, still having issues with my knees. And then I was just at the start of lockdown, I was starting to work from home and had easy access to food. So I noticed that my weight was slowly creeping up again, and I thought, you know, I really need to find something that will change this and at least stop it increasing. And I took my dog out for a walk. It was on the 13th of May, 2020, and I took my dog out for a walk, and I decided to listen to a podcast. And I don't tend to listen to stuff when I go out for walking with the dog. I like to understand what's happening around me a little more. But I listened to this podcast. It was one of the Jim Stevens and I think it's Melanie Avalon, the Intermittent Fasting podcast. And they were talking lots of things. And Jin mentioned her book, which was Delay, Don't Deny. At that point, Fast, Feast, Repeat hadn't been published. And there was a couple of things. IF sounded really easy, probably a little too easy. So I had some doubts at that point. But she spoke about her book and she spoke about her Facebook support groups, and it really appealed to me. And I kind of had this mindset that if I read the book, then I could get into her support groups. So there was kind of a little bit of a reward of more support after that. So as soon as I got home, the Kindle version was downloaded, and I started reading it, and I started fasting immediately at that point, and I haven't looked back really. I think it's been a really fantastic journey. Yeah.
Oh, that's great, mate. So tell us, Andy, when you found Jin Stevens and the book and the rest of it, and I was a bit the same when I read that book. I thought, this is too good to be true. This cannot be that simple. And for me, intermittent fasting is a very simple thing. But what sort of fasting protocol did you kick off with, Andy, and how did you actually work that out?
I went straight in for an 18-6. For the first 2 days while I was reading Jin's book. And then there was something that kind of stuck out for me in Delay, Don't Deny, was that, 18-6 might not be enough to start shifting weight. And I think she repeats that in Fast, Feast, Repeat, that it may need to be a little longer. So I downloaded an app called Fastic. There's loads of different apps for timing your fast. But that was the one I came across. So I used it and continue to use it now. Within that, it spoke about beginner level, 12-hour fasts, and then intermediate level. And then it had expert level, which started at kind of 24. So I wanted to jump straight in and be an expert level. It's kind of the way my mind works. So I switched after a couple of days to a 24 regime, and I stuck with that for quite a while, actually, probably up until November this year, when I just extended it slightly. I'd been through a short phase of kind of plateau where I wasn't gaining, but I wasn't losing, or certainly wasn't losing as I had been. So I just extended it to a 22-hour fast. And I'm kind of OMAD at the moment, and always have, even through the 24, it was still kind of break with a snack, have a meal, have a pudding, and then close the window. But I've just kind of shortened that period. So there's a longer fast in that block. And that seems to be working quite well for me. The weight's coming off.
Yeah, so you're more that restaurant style OMAD, of where we sort of have a bit of a snack to open, and we might wait a while and have a main meal, and if we feel like it that day, we'll have a dessert. That's pretty much the style that you've been doing all along, Andy?
Yeah, pretty much. I like food. So there's loads of different ways to fast, isn't there? There's the alternate day fasting, which for my mindset doesn't really work for me. I like consistency. So I kind of having up days and down days didn't suit how my mindset works and how I can maintain consistency. So definitely fasting on a daily basis works for me. And I like to eat as well. And I think it becomes quite depressing. If you think that you're not going to eat, for me, it starts to play on on my mind. I've done a couple of extended fasts, maybe three, during that time period, probably kind of October, November time, where I just continued and did like a 42, maybe a bit longer fast. And that was simply because something probably got in the way of my window. I might have been busy, or I didn't actually feel hungry and thought, well, I'll push it on a little bit. So it worked, but I think the other side of that fast, it then becomes a challenge for me around refeeding. What am I eating? And probably then start to eat a little too much at that point and have an extended window. So I might do a 42-hour fast, but then I find that my fasting periods for the couple, a few days after are like 18:6 or maybe 16:8. And then that kind of impacts on any successes that I've had during the extended fast. So it didn't really work for me in that sense. It kind of gives a quick boost, I guess, just to get those scales dropping. But yeah, it just kind of peters out any successes that I had in those extended fasts. So yeah, I just like to eat, and I really look forward to my window opening, and I really look forward to my window closing, because I've had enough by the time that happens. So
yeah, I'm pretty much the same, mate. I've only ever fasted once past 23 hours, and that was purely by accident as well. I got home late one night and I just went to bed. Yeah. And I sort of thought, I don't know if I want to do that anymore. And I'm the same. I like to eat every day, right? So, and my fasting has become basically autopilot now, where I know I don't even think about it during the day. I know I eat after 5 o'clock sometime, and I do the OMAD style restaurant type meal, the entree, you know, main, maybe dessert if I feel like it, and close off with a coffee, and that's about it. And I eat till I'm full and I'm done and dusted. And I think you have to have that real mindset to be able to do alternate day fasting. And I think we hear a lot of people saying that when they go into it, they find it difficult with the refeed day, where they become so hungry, they just open up and they just can't stop eating all day. And sort of defeats the purpose a little bit, but it certainly has its place. And I urge everybody to listen to episode 6 of this podcast. And Rachel Arwood, who lives in Egypt, she gave a fantastic explanation of alternate day fasting, about why to do it for all the right reasons and not the wrong reasons. But so, Andy, were you restricting anything along the way, or were you a guy that was eating all the things? Was there anything that you sort of had to restrict in your eating?
It's kind of changed over time. I think the really good thing about intermittent fasting, so I weigh on a daily basis and do a weekly average, and I use Happy Scale and things like that to support that. But I like to know what's happening with my body as I'm doing it. So I don't restrict anything. More recently, I've stopped drinking. The last time, I had a couple of beers at Christmas, but before that, it was the beginning of October that I'd had alcohol. And that was simply, I guess, one, because I wasn't enjoying it, and two, I moved my window. So I've moved my window around quite a lot over the period to suit how I'm feeling. So I was similar to you. I was kind of eating 6 o'clock in the evening and then fasting during the day. And then I just found that it wasn't working for me, not necessarily from a weight loss, just from how I was feeling during the day. I was getting too hungry, and it was start to kind of white knuckle it through to 6 o'clock. So my windows moved. And now I kind of break my fast at about 10:30, 11 o'clock. And then by 1 o'clock, I've finished and I've started my fast. And that really works for me. It's kind of during the work day. I can have all my meals prepped. So, I don't restrict anything. I understand what will affect my fast, and then I can make a decision as to whether I'm going to eat it or not. So ice cream is a big one. Chocolate doesn't affect my fast, but ice cream does. So I know that if I have ice cream, then my weight's probably going to spike the following morning. But I can make that decision as to whether it's something I really want. I don't restrict it, but I probably delay it. And the other thing is, I'm a huge fan of Chinese takeaway food. And I know that when I have that Chinese takeaway, that my weight's going to spike and it's going to take me a couple of weeks to probably get that back down and under control and feel like there's a consistency in the weight loss. So again, I deny it, but I don't restrict it. So if I really want a Chinese, usually on payday as a bit of a treat, then I will eat that. I can't restrict anything because I just really enjoy food. And if I enjoy it, then I think I should be able to eat it, but understand what the consequences are. And weighing daily has really helped with that.
Yeah, life's too short not to have a Chinese takeaway, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
So with your weighing, mate, you sort of notice you've worked it out which foods are spiking your weight, that sort of thing. And that's one of the reasons why I still weigh every day, because it was a real experiment of one for me. And I was almost able to identify the foods and the meals that I was having in my window, which was working and which wasn't. And bread in particular blows me up like a balloon. Mm-hmm. And then I know if I have, you know, a couple of slices of bread or a couple of bread rolls that my weight will spike. And I just tend to stay away from it and I just have alternatives. So when you were sort of thinking about fasting, mate, and you went into it, what was the weight loss like in the early stages, say the first 2-3 months? What was that looking like?
Yeah, I think I started losing weight straight away, which I think is positive for me, because I think you're doing something. And in the first few weeks, certainly it's not easy, I guess, because you're constantly thinking about your windows coming, what are you going to eat? So I kind of struggled with the fast in the first few weeks, but seeing the weight loss coming off kind of motivates you, understand that it's working, so that you can actually you can keep that motivation going. I mean some of the stories, we hear stories in the Facebook groups of people who've lost huge amounts of weight and they're fantastic, but I think some of the real inspirational stories for me are those people, they call themselves the turtles, that lose weight really slowly and have been doing it for years and have lost very little, but the health benefits that they've experienced have been huge. So I think they're the real inspiration, I think, and we can all take comfort from what they're doing as well. But my weight loss has been fairly consistent. There's been a couple of periods where it's stalled. And it's felt like when I was at 104 kilos, it felt like I sat there for quite a while. And then it just suddenly started to drop again. You just have to be consistent. Reflect on what you're doing. What is it that I'm eating? Am I clean fasting? Is there something happening that I'm breaking my fast? And then probably around 94 kilos again, it felt like I sat there for longer than normal. I kind of started to look for patterns in my weight loss. So I did find that kind of every 10 days I'd have a significant loss and then it would shallow out a little bit and it would be up and down, you know, a few hundred grams here, there, and then it would drop again. That seems to have been less of an issue more recently. It's been fairly consistently just dropping a couple of hundred grams a day, maybe goes up slightly depending what I've eaten. But yeah, the weight loss has been consistent for me, which has helped. I think it would be a challenge if I wasn't losing. And I guess for maintenance, it's not a concern, but it's about changing the mindset when I get to that stage.
Yeah, I think you made a really important point there, Andy, about the weight, and it's not all about weight loss. And the health benefits and the NSVs that we talk about, the non-scale victories, to me are far more important. So tell us about some of them for you. What was happening there with your non-scale victories and your health benefits? What have they been like for you?
Yeah, quite significant ones, to be honest. I developed psoriasis on my fingers. It was covering all of my fingers and it was dry and it was cracked and it was really quite painful. And it was impacting, one, it was unsightly, so you're self-conscious about it, but also just things like getting things out of your pockets or getting dressed in the morning, getting your socks on was really quite uncomfortable. And I'd had creams from the GP, a doctor, you know, steroid creams and things like that. They didn't seem to be working. So there was little that I could do. I'd got some moisturizers and things to try and keep it under control. And that's gone, completely gone. Within the first few months, I noticed that it was kind of receding. It wasn't as bad. I wasn't having as many flare-ups as I had been having. And at this point, I've got no psoriasis on my hands at all, which is absolutely fantastic. There's one. I can walk down the stairs normally now. I had real difficulty going downstairs, I mentioned earlier, but I sometimes find myself still walking down sideways, but I think that's more habit than actual difficulty. But I can walk down the stairs. And the biggest one for me, and this is why intermittent fasting will be a lifetime change for me, is I'd spent probably 6 years. I'd had to have some time off work, and I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression, and I was on antidepressants. And I'd come off the medication quite a while ago because it wasn't really working. And I feel like now I've come out the other side that I've probably spent 6 years of my life dragging myself through the day, kind of wake up, don't really want to do anything, got to go to work. You're just kind of trying to get through the day so you can go to sleep again. And IF has completely turned that around. And I'd completely missed that in Jin's books, actually. When I'd read Fast, Feast, Repeat, I've just started listening to the audiobook, and she talks about the, you know, the impact that intermittent fasting can have on mental health. And it completely, I missed it when I read the book the first time. And it's huge. It's absolutely huge. My days are completely different. I'm motivated. I'm happy. I'm not sleeping all the time. You know, any spare minute I had, I was trying to get some sleep, and I sleep through the night. I'm diving out of bed in the morning, ready to start the day. I've got myself a good morning routine. I've read the 5 a.m. Club. I know you've read that, Graham. That was really interesting, just how to set myself a morning routine. I don't dive out of bed and start doing push-ups and crunches, but I certainly have kind of a time to reflect on what my day is going to be like, what I want to achieve in the day. So, for me, even if I hadn't lost any weight and I'd known that my mental health would improve, then I would definitely do IF and will continue to do that.
Yeah, the 5 a.m. Club, I did the 66-day challenge, as you know, last year, where you rise every day at 5 a.m. And I found I got so much more done in my day. And obviously, as you can kind of guess with the podcast and writing the book and everything else, it gave me the time to do that before I actually went to my day job, or my 2-day jobs, I should say. Mm-hmm. So also it gave me that time to get out and move and walk and so forth. And, you know, by about 8 o'clock, you found that you did so much. But after the 66 days, like, I'm the sort of guy that if I start something, I want to finish it. And then I sort of thought, okay, I've done that now. You know, I'll have a bit of a lie until 6 o'clock, which wasn't much more. But it just made that difference. I mean, it is quite punishing getting up at 5 o'clock every day. And I found I was getting a little bit tired. But, yeah, you certainly get a lot done. So one of the things I wanted to ask you, circling back, Andy, is clean fasting you mentioned there. And after you read Delay, Don't Deny, is that something you've done the whole journey, the clean fast?
Yeah, I think in the initial stages, I was probably not clean fasting. And that was because I was having a drink in the evening and probably not including that as part of my window. But that was very short lived. I think once I'd read Delay, Don't Deny, I understood why it was clean fasting, you know, why it was breaking my fast if I had anything other than black coffee, black tea, water. I think that's the key to IF. It's the consistency. I mean, Jin talks also, doesn't she, about Saturday isn't a special occasion. And you kind of feel a bit, well, you know, Saturday's my night, really. That's where I'm going to have a few drinks and I'm going to party a little bit. But it's not a special occasion and you can be consistent. I think once you get into the habit of it, it doesn't impact on anybody else. It doesn't impact on how you're enjoying other people's company. You probably enjoy it more knowing that I'm going to feel great the next day. So clean fasting straight through. If I end up in a situation where I'm really hungry and have a snack, then I restart my timer straight away. And then for me, if the window is extended a little bit, that's fine. It's the fast that comes after still will be 22 hours. So it just means that my window the next day opens a bit later.
Yeah, it's Saturday isn't a special occasion, but unfortunately most special occasions do happen on a Saturday. Yeah. And it's usually the time where our friends and family are not working and, you know, weddings, parties, anything sort of happens on the weekend. And that was one of the things I missed in the early stages of intermittent fasting was that social aspect. And I take it you say that you liked being in lockdown, but I take it you're a bit of a social guy and you enjoy a drink and that sort of thing. So is that something you miss with intermittent fasting, the social aspect?
Not really, no, because I can still – well, I guess there's two elements. I can still do it when we're allowed to do it. We're currently in lockdown 3 here in the UK, probably till mid-February. So there's not the opportunity, but I, you know, I've got my wife here, so I'm spending time with her. So we have good evenings. I've met up with people. Christmas, we had family over. It wasn't an issue. My window was extended slightly on Christmas Day. I didn't drink. It all kind of fell into my usual eating pattern because of my grandson. So he needed to have eaten his lunch at 12 o'clock. So that fell right in my window when I'd normally be having my lunch. So it worked for both of us. I'm not sure how everybody else felt, but me and him were fine. And then I just had a snack at about 4 o'clock and then closed my window. Everybody else is allowed to drink. I'm not saying anyway, you know, you can't drink if you're around me and I'm fasting. People can eat. You know, my wife isn't fasting, so she eats when she wants to eat. It doesn't impact on me, and I don't think my fasting should impact on anybody else. I enjoy meeting up with friends when I'm allowed to, and we have a good time. And I'm probably more social when I haven't been drinking, I guess, than when I have. So it's not an issue for me.
So with your friends and family and work colleagues and that sort of thing, Andy, have you got any kickback about your lifestyle, or has it been pretty smooth sailing for you?
No, it's been absolutely fine. I think there's a few people starting to go, haven't you lost enough weight? And it's quite difficult because all of my, certainly from a work perspective, all of my interaction, apart from the occasional day when I do go into, I'm a nurse by background, so I manage various hospitals and services. So sometimes I go in to visit, but generally everything is done online these days. So it's Microsoft Teams. So when I first started losing weight, nobody noticed. And in the past, I've had quite a big beard and I'd shaved it off. And then people started going, oh, you've shaved your beard off. And I'd be like, well, I have, but I shaved it off 3 months ago. And they'll go, did you? Oh, hadn't noticed. And I think it was people starting to notice that the little image on the screen was changing. And there'd been some significant change. And then I started getting some feedback, particularly when I was kind of meeting people one-to-one. And they were going, oh, my goodness, you've lost so much weight. And we started having conversations about what I'd been doing. I mean, in the early stages, no, I wasn't embarrassed, but I didn't really want to talk about IF because I was concerned that people would go, oh, you know, oh, you're starving yourself. But I got more confident and people have genuinely shown an interest in what I've done, what I've been doing. I'm able to talk a little bit about the science, not too much. It's not really my area of expertise, but I kind of basics of what's happening in the body. I've had some contact from colleagues who've wanted to know more. And you kind of get in this habit now where I'll meet with somebody and we'll start talking. They'll go, oh, how have you lost all your weight? And I'll go, you know, I've been intermittent fasting, and we'll have a conversation about it. And then I'll go, well, we probably need to talk about work because we've got 15 minutes left of our meeting. We've spent like 30 minutes talking intermittent fasting. But yeah, some real positive feedback, I think, generally. No negative feedback. My wife's really supportive. She always has been. If I've had an idea or there's something I want to do or try out, then she's always 100% behind me. You know, she was the first one to notice that I was losing weight and the impact that it was having on me. But yeah, my colleagues and friends have slowly started to pick up on that. I had a conversation with a colleague a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking intermittent fasting and how I'd lost my weight, and I'd sent her a link to your book, Graham, and to Jin's books, and said, you know, if you're really interested, read these, they'll get you on the path. And a week later I met with her again, and her first opening words were, oh, I've started intermittent fasting. I started straight away. I said, I'd kind of almost forgotten about the conversation we'd had. And yeah, we'd had the conversation. She'd gone immediately and set herself an 18:6 window, and she was finding it really beneficial. So we had just a conversation about, for me, the importance of measurements and scales and weighing yourself, because she kind of weighed herself after a few days and then the next day, and she didn't feel that she'd lost significant amount of weight, but she hadn't really got a starting weight, and she probably had some success, but she was going to continue it. So
that's fantastic.
Absolutely,
that's great, mate. It's fantastic too, and big thanks to your wife there for supporting you. I think that's so important, and I know how great that is when we have that. You probably read that in my book about the love I have for my wife and the support she gave me, and it really does make a huge difference. And I really feel for people when I read in the groups that their partners aren't supportive and they'll do everything they can to try and sabotage people. But with appetite correction, Andy, we talk about that with our fasting. Was that something that you sort of noticed it came along for you, or what was your appetite like before all this?
Yeah, my appetite at the start was huge. Interestingly, in a conversation I had with somebody the other day about fasting, and they were like, well, I suppose there's no way you can eat 2,000 calories in a two hour window. It almost felt like a challenge, because I'm pretty sure I could eat 4,000 calories in a window. I could find some way of getting it in. But yeah, appetite correction, I think it kind of creeps in. I don't think I noticed it at first. I just kind of felt, right, I've had a meal, so I'm going to close my window. And it was more recently, probably back in November, my daughter came around and we did a lunch. And I just happened to say to my wife at the end of it, you know, God, I feel really full. I don't know what that's going to do to my weight tomorrow. And she was like, you hardly ate anything. You know, the meal that you ate was like what you'd have for second helpings when you were just eating normally. So I think it just kind of creeps on, and you do notice it. You know, I can be eating a meal now and I can be halfway through and I can just feel that fullness coming. And there's kind of thing where you have to start to think, do I stop now or do I continue? So yeah, it's definitely there. I think I kind of reflected on appetite correction, and I kind of think that I got in the mindset when I was big and just eating normally, I wasn't fasting and didn't really have appetite correction. I kind of think I was mistaking the feeling of full for hunger, to be honest with you. I'd kind of, how I feel now when I'm full and I know it's full and I don't want to eat, was kind of how I used to feel when I thought it was, I've just eaten this big plate of food and I'm still hungry. So I think the kind of mindset changes. Something just happens in the brain, I think, to let you understand the trigger better.
Yeah, it's almost an automatic signal, isn't it? I find you just get to that point where, okay, that's enough, I'm done, shut my window, move on. And I always say to people that I help, look, if you're doing an 18:6 or a 20:4 or whatever it may be, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to eat constantly for 6 hours or 4 hours.
Yeah.
What it means is that you eat what I call a worthy window, until a point where that satiety sort of signals kick in and you feel full. And well, not to that point of where you're stuffed and it's, oh my God, I've got to go and lie on the couch and undo my pants sort of feeling, you know? So I think that's an automatic thing that comes. So you mentioned there, Andy, that you like to walk the dog and that sort of thing. So run us through your exercise. What did you do before and what are you sort of doing now that you've lost all the weight?
Yeah, it hasn't really changed. I've kind of been quite specific about that. I guess the access to gyms and things like that isn't available for us in the UK at the moment anyway. So still walking the dog. My wife's a keen swimmer. So we tend to go out at least three times a week. She'll chuck herself in a lake and I'll walk around and the dog will have a swim with her. And that's it. I tried to do a bit of running over the summer because I do like running. I want to get back into running. But I noticed a couple of things. After I'd exercised, my weight would stall. My weight loss would stall and I didn't want that. And I also didn't want to get into the trap where I'd been in previously. So I mentioned that I'd lost a lot of weight quite a few years back and I'd been exercising. I'd been doing Ironman triathlon. So I'd got a huge regime of running, cycling and swimming. You know, most days I would be doing something. And I didn't want the weight loss to be as a result of having exercised. So I intend to increase my exercise, but I wanted to actually get down to a reasonable weight. So I wasn't doing any damage to my joints. And I'm probably currently at the same weight as I was and when I first started triathlon. I'm probably a few stone less than when I actually did my Ironman. And that's without exercise. So I think for me, that's really important just for the way my mind works, that actually if it comes that I don't do sport, that this is still maintainable. I don't want to start thinking that I'm at where I'm at because I've been doing exercise and I've got into that kind of regime. So.
Yeah. So just run us through with your weight loss, Andy, where you're at now, exactly how much weight have you lost since you started? And just recap what period of time that was for the listeners.
Yeah, so my starting weight was 115.6. 0.6 is important, of course. Kilos, which is about 255 pounds. My current weight, well, my weight was down this morning. So I'm at 78.1 kilos, which is around 173 pounds. So I've lost around 82 pounds so far. I set my goal weight at 75 kilos, and that was really based on my BMI. I wanted to be kind of well into my healthy, kind of normal BMI range. So 75 kilos, 165 pounds is my aim. So I'm 3 kilos off. So not far at all. So if I didn't lose any more weight from today, it wouldn't be a huge issue for me. I think I will. If I get down to 5, I might review that depending on how I look. I've still got a little bit of fat around the stomach. Although my boss did remind me that you do need a little bit in reserve, so don't lose too much, which was helpful. Genuine concern from her, but yeah.
You mentioned swimming there in the UK, and I know I've been for a few swims in the UK and Ireland when I was over there. Yeah, mate, it's a bit chilly to go swimming there sometimes.
It absolutely is. It's too cold for me currently. My wife was swimming in a lake at the weekend and the water was 3.5 degrees Celsius, which is ridiculous.
Wow.
You know, I couldn't. I used to do it many years ago, but I couldn't do it now. We went just after Christmas. We went to a Lido and the Lido was heated. So Lido is our outdoor swimming pool. It's heated to 28 degrees, and I thought, I'll be fine. I'll go swimming with her. It was the worst hour of my life. I was frozen. From the minute I got in, I knew that I wasn't going to get warm, and it took me days to get back. Now, I think I was probably ill. I did go for a COVID test at that point because I was kind of shivering, got a bit of a temperature. But, yeah, it was just absolutely freezing. I'm definitely a warm weather swimmer.
Yeah, for sure. So with maintenance coming up for you, Andy, is that something you think about? Is this something you sort of plan for, or is it something you're worried about? Is there any sort of concerns you have about maintaining the weight you've lost with intermittent fasting?
I'm always concerned that it's going to go wrong. I think it's, I don't want to end up where I was previously. So I don't want to lose control. I've started to think about it. I think because I've tweaked the fasting protocol as we've gone through the period, you know, I started in May and I've extended the times that I've fasted for and I've altered my window. I understand how to do that. And I guess I'm kind of looking forward to it because it's another experiment, isn't it? I get to learn a little bit more about myself and my body and what's going to keep me in maintenance. I couldn't do it without the scales. I don't think. I think that would panic me too much. You know, you hear people that, you know, well, I got into maintenance and then I didn't weigh myself again. I threw the scales away, and for me that just panicked me too much. I want to know that if something's going wrong, then I need to know about it so I can
adjustment. I always say to people, Andy, it's a lot easier to rein in 2 or 3 kilos or 5 or 6 pounds than what it is to rein in 15, 20 when you don't know what you weigh. And then all of a sudden your pants get really tight.
Yeah.
And then you do go and get on the scales and you realize that you put on 7, 8 kilos. And that's harder to get back. And that's why I weigh every day, and I have done virtually the whole journey. And the only time I didn't was when I was in Japan for the Rugby World Cup for 3 weeks. And even then I found a scale in some obscure place, which my wife sort of laughed about. I wanted to take the scale with me on holiday, actually. I was that obsessed. Not obsessed, but it was something for me that it was my accountability partner. It was the truth machine for me, the scale. I don't have any problems with the numbers because I know the numbers are going to fluctuate.
Yeah.
Like I can get up and weigh, and I can go for a walk, which I did this morning. I went for a 6 kilometer walk and I came back and my weight variation was nearly a kilo. And that's just the way it is. Our bodies are made up of a lot of water. And I know every Monday, Andy, I get a phone call or text messages from people that I help and they go, oh my God, my weight's gone up 3 kilos over the weekend, you know? And I just say, well, settle down. Your weight hasn't gone up 3 kilos. You just, you know, what did you do on the weekend? Oh, well, I had 9 beers on Saturday night and then I went to the kebab shop and, you know, okay, well, there you go. And all it is consumption and water. And then I usually find if you do spike on the Monday, that by about the Thursday, Friday, that sort of evens out a bit when you sort of go back to what you were doing. But I think people really panic about that sort of thing. And it's important to know that the scales will fluctuate. It's not just a straight line down. And I really like your weigh daily, average weekly scenario.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it does. It fluctuates on a daily basis. I kind of likened it to an advent calendar when I was thinking about this over Christmas. And I think back to advent calendars that I had as a child. And, you know, you'd have a day where it was a really good picture. It was days before chocolate advent calendars, but it'd be a good picture. You know, the donkey would be behind the window and you weigh the, I kind of compare that to weight going down. And then there's days where weight goes up, so it's not so good. But it does average out, and I think there's probably been about 3 weeks during the fasting period where my weight has gone up as an average. But on all of the other weeks, it's actually still been down. Might be only a couple of 100 grams, but it's still a drop. And it's just about that consistency of approach and keeping it going in the right direction. Yeah. I don't think I could not weigh myself. We did a week in Cornwall in October, and I didn't take the scales with me, but I was a bit like you. I was thinking about it. And then I thought, well, no, because I like to keep the scales in the same place as well. So I think moving them affects it negatively. So I didn't, that was the reason I didn't take them. And my weight, I ate more. My windows are extended when I was in Cornwall, but I got back and I was exactly the same weight when I weighed myself the morning after we got back as when I went. So I hadn't lost any, but I certainly hadn't gained anything.
So that was good. I wouldn't fear maintenance too much, mate. I mean, you probably read in my book there. For me, maintenance is a totally different mindset to losing the weight. When I was coming up to the point where I knew I'd reached that set point, I wasn't going to lose a lot more weight, and I was pretty happy where I was. I mean, I was lean enough at 6'5". I thought, okay, what am I going to do now? And as I alluded to there before, one of the things I did miss was a bit of the social aspect. So what I did was I moved to a 22-2 during the week, and then on the weekends I went to the 16-8 where I could sort of reconnect with a few people and do a bit of a brunch now and again. And, you know, and I still really haven't gone back to drinking much for some odd reason. I've just lost the taste for alcohol. I mean, over the Christmas period, I think I had one beer, and that's all I've had since. And probably in the last 6 months, I might have had 6-7 beers, which for me is pretty good. But also, mate, we talked about mindset there. We touched on it. And we know how important that is in our intermittent fasting journey. How is that for you, the mindset side of it, the mental part of it?
Yeah, I like the consistency of it. So I know when I'm going to eat. I know when I'm not going to eat. So the consistency of the mindset is really important to me. I spend a lot of time thinking about IF, I guess, probably more than is reasonable sometimes. But it's really important to me to understand. You know, I love the Facebook groups and reading people's stories. That really keeps you in the zone. But there is something about keeping in the mindset. But you know, you talk about window-worthy meals and eyes on your own plate. So we're not judging what everybody else is eating. I think that's a really good mindset to be in, because we're all individual, aren't we? But there's something about eye on your own scale as well, and keeping the focus that you're unique, your journey is your journey, and your scale and any weight loss that you're going to have, if that's what your aim is unique to you, and not get caught up in the fact that, you know, somebody else has lost 10 pounds more than you, and you've been doing the same thing, and the same age and the same height and things like that. It is perfectly unique to you. We kind of don't know what our body's going in. So there's, you know, when you stall and when you hit a plateau, I kind of figure that something else is happening. So my skin's probably tightening up, you know, or some things, I'm not very well. Maybe I'm fighting an infection. I wasn't well during Christmas, between Christmas and New Year. And I noticed that my weight just stopped. I was still consistently fasting, but I had some kind of flu, and my weight just stopped. Any weight loss, it didn't go up, it didn't go down. It was just stagnant. And I kind of figured that my body had probably got more important things that it was dealing with than actually losing weight and burning fat.
Was it when you got that flu, given the fact that the UK's sort of almost out of control, if you like, with the COVID there, was that a concern for you? Was that what a worry? Did you stress out about it?
Yeah, I did. I'm quite fortunate because I work for the NHS. I have some what we call lateral flow test kits. So I test myself twice a week anyway. So I did my test and it was negative. So it's telling me that it wasn't COVID, but they're not 100%. So I did book myself in to go and get a proper test, swab test at that one of the testing stations. That came back negative. But yeah, it's a huge concern. And I think for me, it's about, you don't know how you're going to react to COVID. You know, yes, lots of people get it and they don't realize that they've had it. But perfectly healthy people have died from having COVID. And I think that's really important to remember, because you don't know which one you're going to be. Chances are you're not going to be too unwell, but there's always that chance that you're going to be one of the really unlucky ones. You know, we've just passed, I think it's 90,000 deaths in the UK from COVID.
Crazy.
So yeah, it's a huge figure.
Yeah, it's down here in Australia, mate, we've dodged a bullet. I think we live on an island like you guys there, and for some odd reason, we were about able to lockdown pretty early, particularly here in Western Australia. I think we've only had about 6 or 7 deaths, and most of them were in aged care homes. And we haven't had a case here in Western Australia now for nearly 10 months in the community in Perth. And the only thing we can't do is leave this. Well, we can leave the state, but to get back in, we need special exemptions. And then we can't travel, and they've just extended that for another 6 months. So we can't go to the UK or the US or anywhere, and they can't come here. So, you know, I guess it's a small price to pay. And I really hope things do turn around in the UK there for you, mate. But with obesity, Andy, one of the things I wanted to ask you, how noticeable is it getting in the UK? I remember when I was there, and I was a big guy and I was obese, and obviously you always compare yourself to other people. And I noticed that there was, even though they're quite social people and they tend to drink a lot and that sort of thing in Ireland and the UK, there didn't seem to be the level of obesity there is in other countries. What's it like now?
Yeah, it's increasing significantly. We kind of refer to it as a crisis or an epidemic. It's becoming an increasing problem. And of course, obesity has an impact on your risk factors with COVID as well. So it is becoming an issue. I don't think it's quite at the kind of state that it's perhaps at in the States. But it's an increasing concern for individuals.
What would you like to see happen, mate? Would you like to see intermittent fasting become mainstream, where people start going to the doctors that are obese and the doctors are dishing out scripts for intermittent fasting rather than just pills for insulin, that sort of thing?
I think the groups like the Fasting Highway and the Delay Deny groups are really important because they give the support to the individuals that find it. But there needs to be a shift, doesn't there, about how information's shared, because we're still in the situation, certainly in the UK, we know we still stick with the 5 portions of fruit and vegetables a day, and calorie in and calorie out is kind of really important for weight loss. And we know from the evidence and our own experiences that that's not actually the whole picture, that something else needs to change. And I just think that something needs to happen on a kind of as a medical level. Is it up to doctors themselves to find out about fasting? Probably. There's a certain responsibility, but I think there's something around nationally, leaders within health, our national medical directors, our governments, to actually understand intermittent fasting. I'm not sure the word honesty is quite right, but there's something about being honest with the public that actually it's not about low fat, it's not about low calorie, it's about an approach and actually changing lifestyle, which we're not there yet. If I was going to do anything around intermittent fasting other than being on groups and kind of answering the odd question that comes up in there and offering support, I think it'd probably be something more local, some kind of support groups. Because it's really interesting when you speak to people, when people ask you about what have you done to lose weight, and you talk about intermittent fasting, and they'll go, oh, I do that, that sounds similar to what I'm doing. So there are people out there that don't necessarily talk about it, then they're not wearing it on their t-shirt, but are doing it. So there's probably a lot of resource and communities and knowledge that we could gather and we could share and educate.
Oh, for sure. And I know 3 years ago when I started, Andy, you very rarely heard the words intermittent fasting mentioned in mainstream media in Australia. And now it seems there's not a week that goes by. It was funny, I was watching TV last night and there was an advert from one of the meal delivery companies. And they've now got a plan that you combine with intermittent eating. Right. You still eat the food they deliver 3 times a day, but somehow they've twisted the intermittent fasting around to intermittent eating. And I know when I first joined the Facebook communities 3 years ago, there was hardly an Aussie or a Kiwi in those groups, and now there's quite a lot. So I think it is getting out there, and I think a lot more doctors are more informed, and You know, I don't know if you've seen a study in the New England Journal of Medicine that came out in 2019. In fact, it wasn't a study, it was a paper. And it was about a sort of collection of studies that had been done and an overview by Dr. Mark Mattson. And to me, that's probably the most conclusive paper that I've ever read on intermittent fasting and the benefits all in one place. So anybody out there that wants to look at the science of it. But we're going to wrap it up in a minute, Andy. But what sort of advice would you give to somebody out there? You know, there might be a lady or a man that's sitting there, they're obese, they're at their wits' end, they're desperately unhappy with their weight. What sort of advice could you give them and how to start IF?
I think the first thing I'd say is about be compassionate to yourself. I think there's, you kind of get into a situation where you can blame yourself for the situation you're in. This is your fault. This is where you've got yourself to this point, and you've failed, and diets have failed. And I think it's really, really important to understand that actually it's not your fault. I think, you know, Jin talks about this quite a lot. Jason Fung, doctor, talks about it in the obesity code. You know, there's a lot of systems running in the body that are outside of our control. You know, they're kind of automatic. Your body's protecting you, and this is the result of your body protecting you. So accept that it's not your fault, but actually you are in control with intermittent fasting. You're now in control of what happens next, and sometimes you just gotta leave what's happened in the past and move forward. So I think that would be the key bit. For me, I've kind of already spoken about how we're unique. Our journey will be different. So there's something about understanding what other people are doing. Try it out for yourself. If it doesn't work, then you can tweak it. And finally, I think it would be about consistency. If you're not losing, there's going to be two reasons, I think, really, why you're not losing weight if you are fasting. One, your body's doing something else. We've kind of spoken about that a bit. You know, your body's doing some amazing things internally that you can't see. So that's one reason. The other reason is really reflect on what you're doing, particularly in the fasting element. Have you sneaked some milk into your coffee? Are you really clean fasting? Are you being consistent? And then start to think about tweaking, extending your fast, shortening your window, and seeing what impact that has. But I think it's really important that, you know, weight loss is different for all of us. And we've mentioned the turtles who don't lose weight significantly fast, but are still there fasting because it does so much more. It improves your mental health. You feel fantastic. You know, I feel 100 times better this year than I did at the turn of the year last year. A huge difference.
Yeah, that's fantastic advice, Andy. And I think it's very important that we don't compare ourselves to other people. And comparison is the thief of joy, as they say. But Andy, I can't tell you what a pleasure it's been to talk to you. And I would really like to catch up with you again in 6 months, because it's important we follow these podcasts through. And then when you've been in sort of maintenance for 6 months, we'd love to hear from you again and see where you're at and what's developed along your journey. But Andy Watson, thank you so much for joining me here on the Fasting Highway.
Thank you, Graham. And just to say thank you for all that you're doing as well. I think, you know, congratulations on the success of your book. I hope the book launch goes well. You know, I really enjoy the Fasting Highway Facebook group. I think it's such a nice little group. It's a little smaller than some of the others, but there's a huge amount of support, and it is building, and it will get there. But there's a huge amount of support and a lot of positivity in that group. I think it's the best Facebook group for intermittent fasting that I'm in. So yeah, thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's sometimes you don't need to have tens of thousands, and I know in that group we've probably got 300 or 400 of the world's best known fasters in there with a wealth of experience. And I think you're right, it will grow in time. So anybody out there that wants to join the Fasting Highway group, Facebook group, please do. But Andy, you take care, and I just wanted to wish everyone well there in the UK. And I wanted to thank all our frontline workers that are some of your colleagues there in the NHS. You're doing a great job, and we're all indebted to you for that. But Andy, take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Brilliant. Thank you, Graham. Take care.
Okay. Cheers, mate. Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Andy. I really enjoyed that chat with you, and I found it very inspiring, as I'm sure most people did out there listening to it. And congratulations on reaching that goal weight that you had in mind there. And that's absolutely fabulous. And I think you're a real shining light for everybody that follows the intermittent fasting lifestyle. So keeping with the UK theme, coming up next week, we've got Gary Metcalf. They'll be coming out this Thursday coming. Gary's a real shining light as well and a true inspiration. And he's had a fantastic transformation with his own journey with intermittent fasting. So don't miss that one. Just finally, thank you again to everybody that's been buying my book on Amazon, The Fasting Highway. It's available on both paperback and Kindle there. If you're in Australia or New Zealand, you can get the book on my website, www.thefastinghighway.com. Anyway, till next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.